Vallandigham returned to Ohio from Canada. Rather than make him a martyr, Lincoln allowed him to stay as long as he stayed out of politics. Now, there wasn't much substance to any of these rumors, but there was enough to give the Republicans wonderful ammunition. A group of Confederate agents came out of Canada to the town of St. Albans, Vermont. And on October 19, 1864, they robbed some banks and they mortally wounded one civilian. Late in November 1864, another group of Confederate agents set a number of fires in New York City, more than 15 fires, hoping to burn down a number of key places. They mainly set fire to hotels and to Barnum's Museum. So there are things going on that give some substance to these rumors about what the Copperheads and their likely Confederate allies are trying to do. The Republicans used these kinds of things very deftly through the rest of 64 and into 65 to bring great discredit to the Copperheads, the Peace Democrats. Let's look at the impact of the election of 1864. I think the best way to look at it is as a referendum on the war and emancipation. In many presidential elections, it seems that there isn't that clear a choice between the two parties. They often have a great gray middle ground, and they might have a few areas where they disagree. Not in 1864. What would follow a Democratic victory? Well, it wasn't clear. It might be peace. It might be an independent Confederacy, a reunited country with slavery. If the Republicans won, the issues were clear. You'd have union, and you wouldn't have slavery, period. Those are the things that Lincoln and the Republicans hammered on. Knowing this, the voters re-elected Lincoln by an electoral majority of 212 to 21, a landslide. George B. McClellan carried only New Jersey, Kentucky, and Delaware. Lincoln received 55% of the popular vote. He'd only received, 48% of that same part of the popular vote in 1860. The Republicans gained control of all the state legislatures that they had lost in 1862, and they won 145 of 185 seats in the House of Representatives, an overwhelming majority in the House. In the Senate, their margin was 42 to 10. Overwhelming victory for the Republicans, and within that Republican cushion of victory, the radical Republicans gained strength as a faction in the party. So the next Congress will be not only far more Republican, but will also have a stronger radical Republican flavor than the Congress that would be sitting for the rest of 64 and into 65. The election of 1864 was the first time in history that people went to the polls in the midst of a major war to elect a national leader. It was a remarkable testimony to the vitality of American democracy. Equally remarkable was the fact that soldiers were allowed to vote in the field. The Northern soldiers, hundreds of thousands of them, were allowed to vote in the field. Their votes might decide whether or not they had to keep fighting. How would a soldier vote? If he voted for the Democrats, maybe peace would come. Maybe the war wouldn't drag on. Maybe he'd have a better chance of living to a ripe old age. It seemed to be a great risk that the United States took here, that the Republicans took in letting the soldiers vote. But nearly 80% of the soldiers who voted, voted Republican, voted to continue the war and push it on to victory. The soldier vote proved crucial in many congressional districts. In the border states, federal troops helped to see that Republican majorities came in, again, used as they had been used in Maryland earlier and on other occasions. But most important of all in the election of 64 was the impact of Sherman's victory at Atlanta, Sheridan's victories in the Shenandoah Valley, and to a lesser extent, Farragut's victory at Mobile. Without them, Lincoln almost certainly would have lost. I think the message of the election was clear to all, that the war would now be pressed forward to a finish. The Confederates realized this as much as the Federals. Confederate diaries and letters and newspapers from 1864, from the spring and summer and into the early fall, are filled with observations about the Northern elections. The Confederates were very much attuned to how important this presidential election would be, and they hoped that they could avoid defeats. They didn't have to win victories, they knew, just avoid defeats until those November polling dates for the North. They hadn't been able to do that, and now many Confederates understood that the re-election of Lincoln was a terrible blow to their chances for independence. Didn't mean that they all decided the war was lost. They didn't, but some of them did, and all the rest knew that it would be much harder now. The war would drag on for several more months, of course, after the election of 64, but that election represented a major step toward Union victory. Next time, we'll continue our look at the Northern home front. We'll examine the economy and the Republican non-military legislative agenda.